we're at this morning, Ezekiel chapter 33. Now we're going to study through the Word this morning. You'll want to make sure you have a Bible to study with us. These gentlemen are here to pass out Bibles. If you're in need of one, please just get their attention. They'll pass the Bible over to you. We will be looking in the Bible. It'll help you see that it's God's Word, not just man's opinion that we're studying. So raise your hand and get their attention. And for all of us, Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 30 this morning. Ezekiel 33:30. Now at 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be gathering to dig into the Word deeper. That's our time to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the whole Word of God as we press along week after week. Tonight, we're being a portion of Ezekiel 30. So come out and join us if you choose to. But this morning, Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Very interesting passage before us this morning. Once again, we see, of course, that the Word of God is as fresh and applicable to us today as the day it was recorded. Ezekiel is a prophet who was amongst some other Jews who were taken captive up to Babylon. While they're in Babylon, God was using Ezekiel to proclaim God's message to the people. And we've been traveling through the book of Ezekiel, studying that. But in our text this morning, it's interesting because God kind of takes Ezekiel aside and says, Ezekiel, you need to know something. You need to hear what the people have been saying. And more than that, you need to see what's going on in the hearts of those who listen to you. And as he does that, as he kind of pulls back the veil and reveals the hearts of the listeners to Ezekiel, it becomes an exhortation and a challenge to us. You see, there's a listening that's a listening just to hear, and there's a listening that has the intent of doing. The question comes to us, which one are we? Let's pray. Father, the evidence of your love is all around us. You made us, sent your Son to die for us, made known not just our need, but your answer for our need. And Lord, you choose to speak to us. Lord, the great question you're setting before us this morning is, what do we do with what we hear? Lord, help us not to excuse or defend, but help us to, Lord, let the arrow hit the target if it needs to. Lord, what kind of listeners do you find in us? Speak now, we pray, and help us then to hear and do what you would say to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the text again with me, if you would, this morning, where it says, as for you, son of man, that's the title God uses for Ezekiel, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and the doors of the houses. Ezekiel, they're getting together and saying, hey, and they're talking about Ezekiel. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. He says, the people come to you, Ezekiel. They come, he says, as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words. So far, so good up to that point. Much like what could be said across much, if not all, of America this morning. People gathering together in their churches, gathering to hear what God would say to them. Hopefully, much like us this morning. They come as my people come. They hear the words that are spoken. But then comes the indictment from God. But they do not do them. Church attendance isn't the issue here, is it? They're coming to church. That's not the deciding factor. And they hear the words, it says. They mentally take it in. So that's not the make or break point in all this. What's the deciding factor? Not that they are coming and not that they're hearing. He says, but they do not do what they hear. They don't act upon what God is showing them. Well, as it was then, of course, so it is today. People often have an interest in hearing what God would say. But is there the intent to do it? As we gather this morning, do you really heart hunger to not just hear, but to act upon what God will be showing you? Each time you gather to hear a message or study God's Word, what kind of soil does it find when it arrives at your heart? Are you eager, hungry to not just hear, but to do? What kind of hearer are we? There is the hearing that is simply taking it in and then moving on. Or there's the hearing that looks for and seeks God's will with the purpose of acting upon it. Interesting thing. And this is an important thing this morning. Some people feel that hearing God's word, and may I say, maybe even mentally agreeing with it. Yes, that's a good point. I agree with that. That's something that someone should do, or that's a good point. I mentally agree with that. Some people feel like that very act of hearing the word of God is equivalent to doing the word of God. That somehow sitting under the teaching is all that's needed. But we see this morning that that's not the case. Now notice what was going on in their circumstances. Look at the second half of verse 31. After he says, but they do not do them, it says, for with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Their mouth show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Interesting. If you were to be around them, you would hear all the right things. They would be speaking words of love to God and to one another. But God, who's always interested not just in the outer, of course, but the heart, goes beyond that. And he speaks about their heart. Remember, the heart is the real us, the core of who we are, that place in which the root of all my decisions and all come from. And the Lord speaks to that part. And he says, well, they sound good. They're speaking much love from their mouth, but their hearts. And their hearts, they're interested in what's in it for them. They're interested in gain. It's an interesting thing. You might say that there is a saying kind of love and a doing kind of love. They're not the same thing, of course. You know, we often say that the opposite of love is hatred, and that's the case. That's the opposite. But when you talk about what competes for our hearts, something that's right up there is love versus gain. Love versus greed. Covetousness. Because our hearts can be selfish. This fleshly nature is strong. And it wants to look out for number one, and it thinks it knows what's best. It wants to have the driver's seat. And so there's that competition for our hearts. Love versus greed, covetousness, jealousy. See, love is about others. Gain is about us. How do we listen? And what do God's Word find in our hearts? Now look at verse 32. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. They liked how Ezekiel speaks. Had a real gift, apparently, of being able to speak. He sounded good. Remember I said back in the previous verse there, verse 30, he says, come on, let's go hear what he's saying. Maybe they're even kind of proud of their pastor. You know, come and let's check him out. Let's hear what he has to say. He's a good speaker. But there's no intention of doing what they hear. They like how you sound, but they don't do it. And so then in verse 32, as he did in verse 31, he repeats the statement, but they do not do them. And therein lies the problem. God's indictment against them. But not just them. The path to trouble for anybody is to be a hearer but not a doer. There was not a lack of hearing God's word. They gathered for that very purpose. It was not a lack of intelligence. They mentally understood it. They were taking it in. It wasn't rooted in Ezekiel being a poor speaker. Says he sounded good. It came down to it was in their lack of doing. There was a competition in their hearts. Love versus gain. The Lord versus self. Now please hear this. The hearer with a divided heart will not gain what God intends. Now this verse about the fact that they were hearing it but not doing it can't help but make us or cause us to think of the admonition that James gives us in James chapter 1. Let's turn there. We're going to go over to our New Testament. You're going to go to the book of James. Now to find the book of James, a helpful thing might be is kind of go along until you find a fairly large letter in there named Hebrews. And then this next book after Hebrews. And go to chapter 1 of James. By the way, it's okay to use your index to find a book of the Bible. It's okay to ask your neighbor. You know that guy that as soon as I said James, he whipped right to it? There was a day he didn't know where it was either. And that's okay. Learn to handle your Bible. Learn to discover where the books are. And if it takes you a little while or you have to use the index, so be it. But let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 21. Where James says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. James talks about the deceived hearer. How this one is doing something that they're deceiving themselves, tricking themselves. It says he's like the one who looks in a mirror, sees his image and all, but walks away and very soon forgets what he has seen. Well, a forgetful hearer soon forgets what he or she has heard. There's no attempt to apply it or to change an attitude or a behavior because of it, but rather, it's out of sight, out of mind, they forget about it. And they deceive themselves. See, the hearer in this case, this deceived hearer is deceived into thinking that hearing is all that is needed. That somehow just by osmosis, by hearing it, it's going to come in and change me. Too many people think that mere church attendance or the hearing of a message is all that is needed. So they come to church on Sunday and they hear a message, or they turn on the radio or read a message, read their Bible. They close up and say, well, that should last me till next Sunday. I'm pretty good here. Good to go. But then they head out in their wisdom and their same behaviors and attitudes and all, and miss out on all that God has for them. To hear but not do the word deceives the hearer, rips off the hearer. Because God has things for us. God says what he says, not for him, but for us. I do these things. I walk in what God tells me, not to get love, but because he loves me already. And it's the path of blessing. I don't do these things to be saved. That's by grace and grace alone. But because I am saved, I know that that's the beginning of a work. And this is how he's going to do it. His word empowered by his spirit in my life as he finds me obeying it. That's how that work gets accomplished. The deceived hearer takes false comfort in the simple act of hearing and thinks that's enough. Again, it's as if hearing it secures the blessings in and of itself. But what does the end of verse 25 here in James tell us? But a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You must be a doer of the word to receive the blessings, the promises that God would have for us. You know, back in our Old Testament, back in Joshua, matter of fact, let's turn there. We can do it. Go left now. You're going to go way back. It's the sixth book. Go past those first five books of Moses and go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Now, as you're turning there, in Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. God is giving Joshua his commission. He's about to now, he's taking over the leadership of God's people. And so God is giving Joshua's commission as the leader and all. Well, I want you to notice what the Lord says in his commission to Joshua. Go down to verse 7. There's something here that pertains to what we're looking at this morning. Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There is a key phrase here that God uses twice, once in verse 7 and again in verse 8. I'm wondering if you noticed it. It's the statement, the admonition, the phrase, Joshua, I want you to observe to do. In both verses, observe to do. Joshua, hear God's word, study God's word, meditate on God's word with the intention, observe, to do. Take it in with the intention to act upon it is the calling. That's the place of blessing. Joshua wasn't to meditate on God's word, study God's word, have it in his mouth, just for that exercise in itself. But it was to result in something. Joshua, I want you to observe to do. It's a command to Joshua and to us. For therein is the place of blessing. Observe to do it. Not just to consider or intend to do it or maybe think about it once in a while, but observe to do is the calling. See, that's how we're to come to God's Word. I wonder how often people don't get much out of it because they don't come with anything to it. They're so clamoring with their, we should get done, I got things I got to do. And I wonder, I suspect a lot of things are a lot of us miss out on what God would have. We're to come to God's Word observing that we might do. Observe to do. What kind of listeners are we? What is the promise here to Joshua, the end of verse 8? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. No, he's not saying, obey me and you'll get that $1 million you've been praying about, or that Mercedes you've been wanting and all that. It's deeper than that. It's the real needs of our life, the peace, the contentment, that light for our path, because, oh, how I need light for my path. But if I'll just put my foot where he says, it's that place of a close walk and a blessing and the place of promises where God meets needs in our lives and all, discovering who he is and going deeper with him. It's in the doing that is the blessing. Well, we have to go to one more. We're going to turn to one more passage here. We must consider this is a key text on this whole issue of being doers, Matthew chapter 7. So go again to your New Testament, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to go to the end of it, verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Now when you get there, many of you are going to maybe say, oh, I remember this passage from Sunday school. I studied this when I was a little one. Well, don't relegate it to just the children's ministry. We teach it to the kids because it's a good foundation for life. But he's speaking to us. You see, here is God visiting his creation. Here is God incarnate, Jesus, walking now on his creation, speaking to people, the people whom God has designed and made. And here is God now speaking about how this life was made to be lived. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It was just God pouring out his heart about this life and how to walk it, how to live it. But he gets now down to the end of that time. We'll pick it up in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Lord here is telling us how to survive the storms of life. Some of you are going through storms right now. And if you aren't, you will be. Some of you have already been there and you know the truth of this. Louisiana, places in the South have recently gone through a horrible situation as they suffered from the effects of Hurricane Katrina. You know about it. It's been on the news. We've heard so much about it. Devastating, devastating the effects. It's my understanding that there was a warning ahead of time. But unfortunately, some chose to not leave. Now, let me preface this. I am not making light of what they've gone through there. Horrible. But I think actually it's a good likeness of the storms we can face emotionally and spiritually in this life. Now, in that situation, it's true. Many did get out. Others couldn't get out. They were hospitalized. They were infirm. So they couldn't. Just elderly, and they couldn't get away. I understand that. I don't want to be unfair to that, about that. Yet it is reported that there were some who chose to stay, not because of those reasons, but mainly because, well, perhaps some saying, hey, I've been through a lot of these. I think I can make it through this one. You know, they've gone through storms, quite a few. The South, they get their storms, they get the hurricanes. And some said, well, I've been through this before, I can weather this storm. How were they to know it would be this bad? They thought it'd be like the others they faced, and that they would muster up what it takes to get through it? How were they to know that this would be the one that would cause so much devastation? They thought they had the means to weather the storm. But it did come, and it was a disaster for so many. Jesus is declaring here, there will be storms. Not maybe, not if. He doesn't say if the storms come. He says when they do come. Now, you might be someone who, like maybe some of those who stay down in the south, you might say, hey, I've been through a lot of storms in my life. I can weather whatever else comes along. Maybe you feel like, hey, I've got the mental, you know, I'm smart enough, and I can just pull up my bootstraps, and I can muddle through. I'll be okay, whatever comes along. There's a great, great danger in that, of course. Because if you haven't been there yet, the Lord's telling you that indeed there are storms in this life that will reveal the foundations of your life. They just will. Do you say, well, I've rode them out before, I'll ride it out again, I'll be okay? What's the deciding factor for those who stood and those who didn't? What was the foundation that withstood the storm and the one that didn't? What kind of foundations do these storms reveal? What's the deciding factor? The one that had... What's the difference between a sandy foundation and a rock foundation? The sandy foundation was someone who heard but did not do. See, they both heard, as we all are doing right now. They both heard. It wasn't that. It wasn't enough just to hear. But the sandy foundation was someone who heard but didn't do. Went about business in their own way. Thought they had what it takes. But sure enough, a storm came and revealed the sandiness of the foundation, and down it went. But the rock foundation stood firm. Why? Because this is the one who heard and then did it. They acted upon it. See, this is the person that wakes up in the morning, and instead of being all about their gain and all about their agenda and their will, got to make this sale, I got to get this, and I got to do that, and oh boy, I better, what if? They wake up and they say, wait a minute. They slow down and they say, Lord, I want your will today. I want to walk in your path. Lord, there's something you want to do in my life. You want me to end this day more like Jesus than I began it. There's something you want to work in me and through me, and I don't want to miss that today. And a key element will be the doing of what God shows us as we walk in Him. That's the foundation that's going to stand. The one who hears and does what God says. Well, what are the things that God says we should do? Well, that's what you hold in your lap, but we're not about to read the whole thing right now. But let's consider a few. Let's consider a few just from this very sermon He's just been giving here. What does God say when He visits us? What did He say here? He says something like, at one point here, He says, you know what? Don't worry about what you're going to wear. And don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't be all caught up in anxieties and fears. That's what the world does, He said. But instead, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I'll add the other things unto you. What will you be about tomorrow? Will you be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you with the rest? What else does He say in here? He says, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth gets in and eats it and the rust gets in and corrodes it. He says, instead, store up treasures in heaven. And He says, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where's your heart today? It's where your treasures are. Are you about love or gain? Remember, that gain got in the way. Jesus talks about that seed that fell on that kind of ground where the weeds came in. And He says, that's the cares and riches of this world. Choked out fruitfulness. Where's your treasure, He says. Be careful about that. He said, you live in a dark world. Not a newsflash, we know it. But He says, be a light unto it. He says, you're salt. You should be influencing and giving some flavor to those around you. And He says, be a light. Don't hide under a bushel, but shine it. Shine it in that workplace and in that home. Be light and salt, he says. He says, pray. He says, seek, ask, knock, keep praying. Do you have a consistent prayer life? Have you learned to pray instead of be anxious? Pray, he says. See, in each of these, I trust right now you're asking God, is that what he'd have you to act upon? That's the idea and why I'm sharing these. Remember, he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, is God saying that maybe one of these is something you need to do? Or will it be the storm's going to come and reveal the sand? What are some other things he says? He says, stop judging everybody. Quit trying to be the big spiritual police. Quit judging and being down on and critical of everybody, he says. Stop it. He says, oh, there's a hard one, forgive. In that Lord's Prayer there, he said, hey, we're to pray, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, Lord, did you have to bring that one in? Because some of you need to forgive someone this morning. There's somebody that you are, you're holding a grudge against. There's bitterness there. It wasn't right what they did. But the Bible speaks about what a root of bitterness can do, how it rips us off. We come short of God's blessings, His best for us. And maybe that's what you need to be a doer of as you leave today. It's time to forgive. Maybe something in your present, maybe something in your past, but it's time to forgive and be free from that. You be free from it is the call. And you know what? It's not just these sayings of his in the Sermon on the Mount, because remember what James said? Be a doer of the word. That's the whole word of God. So it goes on beyond just the Sermon on the Mount. It's things like this. It's things like, husband, love your wife as Jesus loves you, just like he loves you. Maybe that's something some of you husbands need to be a doer of. Not just mentally agree to, yes, I need to do that. That sounds good. I should go think about that. Or, boy, I hope that I can do it someday. Maybe it's time to do it. But ladies, before you're so quick to work the elbow on him, it says, wives, see that you reverence, respect your husband as you do the Lord, as unto the Lord. Maybe you need to do that today, wives. Maybe you need to soften up a little bit and understand and respect him and reflect it and show him. See, there's something for each of us, isn't there, to do. Not just hear, not just agree with mentally, not intend to do someday after you get this together and that and all everything, but actually do. Is there something you need to do today? Here's a key point. It's in the doing that we show the world Jesus. Not in the saying. They're waiting to watch somebody do it, not just say it, but to actually do it. It's in the doing that we show the world Jesus. This morning, are you facing an issue in your life that you know what God is saying to you, but you don't do it? You don't want to do it. You don't want to forgive that person. You don't want to reach out to those people in need. I mean, it's going to take time and energy and might even take some of my money. It's going to cost. You're right. But what you gain far exceeds it. It is worth it to obey the Word of God. Is God speaking to your heart about something? Then just do it. Obey it. It's in building, well, that's the solid rock foundation. It's in the observe to do. It's in the being a, not just a hearer, but a doer. It's coming like this and saying, I'm going to hear from God today. Maybe for some it'll mean, no, I don't put a big thing on you, but you know, in our bulletin we have a place you can actually write down. Maybe for some, if God's speaking, write it down. And then go out and pray over and act on it. But whatever it takes to do it, let it have its effect. Or else, what are we doing? Why are we here? We're not here to play a game. God says, they're all coming to you, Ezekiel. Looking good, talking good. But their hearts aren't there. They're not doing it. And they're losing out. They're missing out. You miss the blessings. You miss the promising. You know, each time we hear God's word, there needs to be an application. There are things in God's word, something always in God's word for us to act on. Because none of us here have arrived. If you've arrived, if you're perfect, please come introduce yourself after service. I want to meet you, but I'll have a few questions for you. We know we're under construction, and that's okay. He's began a good work, and he's going to complete it. And each day is part of the work. We're under construction. That being the case, he wants to show you something today. He wants to work on something today, but it's a partnership. We need to obey, act on it. It's to observe, to do. It's observe with the intention of obeying it. And in the doing of that, that's our place of blessing. That's where the promises are. So what kind of hearer are you? When you come to the Word of God, when you come to church, when you're studying, do you listen with the intent of doing? Only there is the place of growing in the Lord. And then, you have to turn there, but in Ezekiel there, at the very last verse, it says, "And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them." Well, we can look back now and we know that indeed Ezekiel was a prophet of God, because everything he spoke came to pass, that which has been due to happen up till now. And indeed, he says, the Lord encourages Ezekiel, they'll know, they're going to know someday that indeed God was speaking. Well, you can know today that God is speaking when you study his word. But notice what he says, "And when this comes to pass," and he says, "surely it will come." What God says is true. The storms will come. Some houses will fall, and some will stand. Which will yours be? Let's all stand. Invite the worship team to come up. Are you in need of prayer this morning? We would count it a privilege to pray for you. The prayer partners will be by the prayer room. What will each day find us being? Doers? Doers of our will or His? Hungry for the world's agenda or His? I pray each day will find us being hearers and doers. Let's individually and as a fellowship be a place of hearers and doers. Because that's the place of blessing, and that'll be the place of glorifying God. Let's pray. Father, you are very, very good to us, and we just want to proclaim that. And Father, in your love, you have spoken. You, by your Spirit, you continue to reach out. And Lord, we're just praying, Lord, help us. Help us go beyond being hearers. Lord, by your Spirit, take your word, plant it deep, Lord, and then help us, Lord, to be doers of what you're doing, Lord. Work in us and through us all you desire. Father, whether it's something we spoke about specifically or just something your Spirit's ministering to each and every heart here, Lord, help us now to go do it. An attitude change, a behavior change, a reaching out, whatever it is, Lord, may you find us every day hungering for, desiring to hear and to do, to observe, to do your will. And in the end, Lord, may it all give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.